It's wild. I can't believe WrestleMania is next weekend.
Yeah. Like, it's all happening so fast. But yeah, Supercard's going to be Friday.
At least it's indoors, because I feel like WrestleMania is going to be outdoors and it's going to be freezing because it's been miserable here.
So since the ROH show will be like the day before Supercard of Honor, I'm curious if they actually treat it like an actual setup show, you know, where you've got the rivalries Thursday, and feuds, and pretty much most people on the card would be on that show to hype it up, or if they just do something where they do the exact opposite, where just like no match means anything, two people that are actually on the card show up, you get an Athena promo, and like that's that. I'm curious.
I wonder. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting because they're still close to each other. So it's going to be an interesting setup. Because usually, like, you know, Raw, I mean, SmackDown's going SmackDown, you know.
But so like Ring of Honor is different. And I almost think, and like, I get it where it's like, granted, the shows are taped, so it wouldn't be that thing. But in terms of if you're trying to sell it as this is happening today and the show's tomorrow, maybe not all of them have to be on the card. But you'd want them on the show in some way to, you know, remind you what's going on, other than the highlight videos they're going to show us.
Right. It's very, it's all right, very
let's get started.
Let's do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, the show is about to start in 10, 9, 8. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Master Smart, the humor. They Master Smart, the humor. They Master Smart, the humor. They Master Smart, the humor.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, fans and friends, we are back once again. I am the custodian of charisma, the ophthalmologist of optimism. She is the sultan of sarcasm and the sorceress of sass. I am Brady. She is Danielle. I am the ghost. She is the coat. Together, we are the best friends in all the land. We are the heel marks, and this is your favorite, the best, your go-to Ring of Honor post-show mark of honor, brought to you by bodyslam.net. wherever you are watching, thank you. Get comfortable, figure out where that comment section is, and get ready to join the conversation. Hit that like button, and do not forget that at any time you could support the show by going to Slam Chats with your donations, with your comments. We want to hear from you. We want you to be as much a part of the show as we are, and as much a part of the show as the Ring of Honor wrestlers are, which, let's face it, this show does not exist without them. Speaking of not exist without them, it does feel like sometimes Ring of Honor does not exist without their forever champion, Athena. And that is exactly how we started the show. That's exactly how we opened the show, with the boss of all bosses coming out for a proving ground match, Athena defeating Nikita. Nikita had a couple of hopeful moments, but for the most part, this was Athena marking her territory and letting everyone, in particular Hikaru Shida, know that she is not dropping her title. She is not letting her show go anytime soon.
I was very intrigued that Nikita got so much offense in the beginning. It was really impressive to see.
She had those hope spots.
There was a lot of offense going on, and I was really for it. This Shida stuff is so good. I'm so for it. And it really gets you going. And it really, like, there's fear in Athena's eyes, no matter how much she wants to say that she's the top, you know, the top talent on this show in the women's division. There's some fear there. And I love every minute of it. It's not like her just coming out and being like, no, I'm going to beat you. That's it. I mean, there's some fear, and there's some stress. Right. And I love it.
I want to touch on this because you just said something about it. I don't want to forget, but it's there when she got that offense early on, it's such good, like, wrestling psychology. And this is why Athena is so good as like a vet. And this is why I love her in this role for Ring of Honor. It's like, so in the beginning, Nikita gets her offense, she gets her hope spots in, and then Athena, what does she do? She takes it outside and it gets violent. all of a sudden she's pulling these veteran moves where, yeah, I'm going to lure you out here and now, boom, you can't do anything because I'm throwing you against the barricade. I'm throwing you into stairs. I'm throwing you into the turnbuckle. I'm hurting you right now. And then because of the fact, and this is once again, fantastic psychology, because of the fact that Nikita did get those home spots and she did get that offense and Athena was kind of like, is this rookie really thinking she can compete with me? That's where we get the post-match beatdown. It didn't just feel like, okay, they're doing this so Sheeta can come out. It felt organic because, 100%. Athena, you got it. You can't let this rookie show you up like that.
No, absolutely not. You couldn't. You are the top female talent on this show, and you need to prove it. So you can't let someone who didn't. Did she even get an entrance? You get it. Someone who didn't get an entrance. No. You can't. Exactly. As usual. So you can't let someone who didn't even get an entrance try to outshow you and outdo you. You can't have that. Right. Especially when you're the women's champion.
So, yes. And I would be attributing this to the company, like this is what ROH does better, this is what WWE does better, or whatever. I'm really attributing it to Athena. I don't know why, but just when I'm watching this, I'm seeing them come from her. And it's like, these are decisions she's making for her character. Obviously, someone wrote the script, but she's like, okay, great. Because, you know, her and Nikita get together for the match. So I feel like it was just done perfectly. And then, of course, with Sheeta coming out to stop the beatdown and look like the true contender and challenger she is, katana in hand. We even get a Sheeta promo later where she really puts Athena on notice. So it's like, me and you were bantering before we really started the show about what we think could happen from next week's show. I don't expect either woman to have a match next week, and I don't think any woman should. I'd love to hear from both of them. And if that means they're in the ring together, if that means they're getting interviewed backstage together, if it just means they're both doing separate kind of promos at each other, I just feel like this story is really starting to like this in this moment, it really started hitting for me. And as you said, we can see the fear in Athena's eyes. It makes me not want this feud to end on Friday.
Yeah, 100%. I wouldn't want this feud to end on Friday.
And commentary mentioned it where like they mentioned something of as far as like who's left for Athena and kind of attributing that as to why Sheeta, you know, came from the shadows to challenge her. And you kind of ask that question every time she defeats a contender. When she beat Nyla Rose, we're like, who's left? What? Who's next? Who's left? So in this situation, I think Sheeta should stick around. And I'd love to see this continue, whether Sheeta does take the title or whether Athena retains.
Oh, yeah. This feud has been super fun. Like, I know we went from Nyla Rose first. And Nyla Rose, that was fun because she's amazing and hysterical. There's competition here, and it's nice to see Athena just not completely putting herself over all the time. And like I've been saying, like fear in her eyes, and like she's worried that someone else is going to come in and take her championship, and she doesn't want that to happen. And I'm all for it.
Yeah, and we've seen Athena like when you mentioned Nyla Rose. Nyla Rose was 100% competition. We watched her throw Athena in tables. But you're right. Athena was never scared of Nyla. Athena kind of just stepped up to the challenge. Like, you think you coming for the boss? Let's go. But with Sheeta, and they have touched on the past loss, and I think that's kind of, you know, the core of it all. But because she has been defeated by this person before, now it's a different ball game, and we get to see a different Athena title defense program. We get to see a different Athena in general, because she has been shooketh,
and the shooketh fall hard.
Randy's not shooketh. He's in the live chat saying, "What up? What up, Randy?"
Hey, Randy.
We spoke last week about Maria's boys, and we get them here again. Classic victory over, you know, a local tag team, Kaz Jordan and Victor Castella, Cole Carter and Griff Garrison. I like that they made very quick work of this tag team.
Oh, yeah. I'm totally for this. This is fine.
I was going to mention it.
Go ahead. Sorry.
What's up?
No, go ahead. Sorry. I was excited. No, I was just saying, like, I'm excited that we're actually seeing them again, because I felt like it got a little repetitive that we were seeing other people and not these people. a lot of people that we weren't seeing had storylines too, and then they just weren't there anymore. So I'm glad to see Cole Carter and Griff Garrison again, because I really enjoy watching them. And I, for what it's worth, I like them with Maria. I think Maria is a good addition to them, and this tag match was really fun.
Yeah, no. This is a good one. I like, you know what it is? It's not just them that look good. I feel like, and it's commentary, and it's also just the delivery and performances, but their wins seem to reflect very highly on Maria as a whole. It almost seems like Maria's getting the W's. Maria has invigorated this tag team. Speaking of an invigorated tag team, let's talk about the other tag team match happening. Brandon Cutler and Colt Cabana defeating Rex Lawless and Bryce Donovan. Now, I know, Danielle, that your face automatically cringes the second I mention Colt Cabana, but I got to be honest, this team is really clicking for me. Like, this is a fun team.
Okay. So first thing I'm going to say is Colt Cabana's shoes are fantastic. The whole time I was watching, I was like, these rainbow delightful shoes are amazing.
Boom.
There. See, a nice comment. I love their fun, like, quirky gimmick. I like all that. But Colt Cabana looks like a washed up man who shouldn't be there. Like, he seems very out of place with all the other three people in there.
I disagree. I feel
that's
like
okay. This, you can disagree. Like, he looks out of shape.
But this tag team, I don't think he looks like out of place. Like, this is exactly where he should be on the card, in a comedy tag team doing silly shtick. Yeah, 100%. That's kind of always been his thing.
Yeah, but he looks like, he looks like Brandon Cutler's dad. And he's like, dad, come on out here and help me wrestle. Like, I'm waiting for him and, like, Matt Cardona and his dad to have a match now. Like, dad versus dad, son versus son. Cole's not that old.
He really doesn't. I would venture that Cutler looks like... No, maybe like the weird cousin that Colt Cabana just woke up and Brandon was on his couch.
I did like the little fisherman reel thing when he was trying to reel him up. I like that. I thought that was fun. But yeah, he doesn't do it for me. I try because I really like Brandon Cutler, but Colt Cabana does nothing for me.
I mean, like I said, I just thought, I think as a tag team, because this is normally I see these guys as a heel tag team. So normally it's like they do the shilly shtick, but it's kind of just to make themselves look stupid, you know? They go for the hairspray and they spray each other. And like occasionally they do something that riles the crowd up. But like seeing them as the babyface team, as the showcased tag team here, where the fans were able to get behind them, and then they didn't do as much silly stuff. Like, they did fun stuff, but then all of a sudden they're doing some tandem offense. That finisher was awesome. Like, these guys really clicked together. I think both teams had great chemistry, and I'm a big Rex Lawless guy, and I like Bryce Donovan after this match, so I hope to see more from everyone.
I was just going to say, I don't want to not give shine to Rex Lawless and Bryce Donovan, because I think they did a fantastic job. I also think they did a fantastic job reacting to the silly shenanigans that were going on with Colt Cabana and Brandon Cutler. I liked when the fisherman reel thing was happening and they were just like, no, stop that. I like that a lot. I think they complimented them very well.
I've always been big on Rex Lawless. Rex Lawless has kind of that look that kind of he draws your attention to him.
And especially when
you just see him, and they just are like, and his opponent, and they show the local talent that's not getting an entrance, meaning they're not going to win. And then you see Rex Lawless looking jacked all day, like in the corner, just kind of like, wait a minute, what? And you're like, how is this guy getting thrown around? Like, okay. So I really hope that ROH and AEW as a whole stick with Lawless. And like I said, I do like him working with Donovan. So really, I think this is the way to go with these guys. Let's keep them as a tag team. I think we should keep Cutler and Cabana as a babyface tag team. I don't know how that works since they're paired up with the Young Bucks in AEW land, but over here in a Ring of Honor, I can see them doing very well as a popular babyface team.
AEW land.
AEW World, and then it would just be spelled AE World.
AE World, yeah.
Speaking of someone who's in his own world, Let's talk about Dalton Castle.
I have so much to talk about with this.
Oh, you have so many thoughts. Amazing. Well, so Dalton Castle defeated Nick Camarado. Dalton Castle did not come out looking distraught. Dalton Castle came out with his replacement boys. Once again, he looked all fired up. He had his old trunks on. Nick Camarado, however, looking like a new man, ditching the facial hair, ditching the beard. We saw this hinted at a few weeks ago with Jacoby Watts saying he was going to save Nick Camarado. Surprised that we're seeing a possible evolution of that without Jacoby Watts coming out with him, with his book. I'm kind of scratching my head and wondering slash hoping we see more of Jacoby Watts, because I like where it looked like that was going to go. And I do love this starting here where Nick Camarado still has like his trademark hairy chest, but boom, starts with the facial hair. Just none of that. And he's got the same hair. So I'd like to see this evolution continue. But Danielle, what did you think of this masterpiece of the match?
Okay, let me start from the beginning.
Okay.
So Dalton comes out with two new boys. So right. I was trying to figure out if the smaller one was going offbeat on purpose. I was like, oh, this is great. He's trying out new boys and they're failing. They're going to fail. This is great. I'm for this. Like, the bigger one was going on beat clapping. The little one was offbeat. I'm like, oh, okay. I get this. As it progressed, I was like, wait, did he just mess up? Because then when he came down and they were eating out of his hand, and then when he used them as a stepping stool, I thought one of them was going to collapse, and then Dalton was going to collapse. And it, you know, because it tells a story, I felt.
Well, so I'll say this. Every time we've had replacement boys, I've always noticed them being like offbeat when dancing. I kind of always thought that was supposed to happen. It always kind of reminded me of like the fucking left shark type of situation.
All right. Yeah. The left shark. Right. So that's fine, because I figured like they just sometimes need replacements because the boys are like somewhere. But like, this is a storyline, and this is, and for the boys to be such a focal point for this whole distraught Dalton and all this happening with Dalton, I would think like, oh, you're just replacing people. So I was just like, what's the point of this? Like, you should have had them messing up or like not being as good as the boys and him getting frustrated with them. So like, the boys really, I guess they're not the boys, the people filling in as the boys took it away from me on this.
The big boys.
The big boy. Yeah. I'm not taking away from the match. I thought the match was good because I really.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you. And especially since this match ends with, you know, a Johnny TV attack on Dalton Castle. And obviously Dalton is still voicing his concern about the boys and they're rubbing it in his face, everything that happened. It does seem like in this particular instance, we didn't really need the replacement boys this time. It might have been a better decision for the storyline, for the continuity, to just have no boys, have Dalton come out distraught again, you know, get the win as he does. But then everything that happened post-match would have just been a lot better because you wouldn't have had replacements there. But who knows, maybe, like, we've been talking about it, Danielle. I know you don't want to talk about it, but we've been talking about the chance that this does lead to a heel turn from the boys. And so perhaps this needs to happen to get where we're going with that. As usual, I do think it was hilarious, everything Taya and Johnny said with Dalton. We talked last week how it seemed like it was just funny when they were like, you're responsible. And Dalton shoots back, you're irresponsible. And then this week they're like, how dare you tell us irresponsible? We kind of thought it was a fun throwaway line. And they actually brought it back tonight. I thought that was funny.
I actually thought this segment was very weird. So when I was sitting there thinking about it, I said, so they're mad, he's mad, they lost the boys? That's where the story line is. Yeah, no, it was weird.
They're like, we're glad we lost them because they were bad boys. But then they go ahead and say, you never loved them, not like mommy and daddy did. So that's where I started getting confused, because it's like, wait a minute. Are you rubbing in his face that you lost his boys and you don't care? Or are you somehow claiming that despite the fact that you lost the boys because they were bad boys pissing on your rug and all that type of shit, meaning you don't care, but mommy and daddy love them most? Like, that was the part where they confused me. But I... because this story is not supposed to be taken seriously. So I really just look at
it's not about taking it seriously. It's about making a little bit of sense.
Yeah, I get it. But like, listen, Dalton said you shut your filthy mouth in response to it. And that was really the pop for me. It does seem like Taya is kind of just freestyling a lot of this stuff because Dalton is an improv guy, and I feel like sometimes when you're doing that, you can kind of get a little convoluted in terms of the threads you're weaving, where certain things now don't actually make sense as one full story. You're just saying lines that you think are funny in that moment or stuff like that.
Correct.
But I think Supercard of Honor is right around the corner. These guys don't have a match yet, but I'm hoping. I mean, this is the first time we've really seen, because this entire program has been about Johnny TV or Dalton wanting Johnny TV. I want to punch your face. I want your match. I'll give up the boys if you beat me. But ever since, we haven't really seen them go at it, just kind of Johnny TV rubbing his face in it, because we now saw an attack. Johnny TV put his hands on Dalton Castle. He left them laying. They kissed on top of his body. Now, part-time authority figure Jerry Lynn might have a reason to step in and say, okay, Johnny, you put his hands on him, so listen, this match is going to happen. We're going to do it again at Supercard of Honor. It's going to be the boys on a cage or in a shark tank, and you know, you got to rescue him or some stupid.
Oh, my God. I forgot about those matches. Who was in that once? Was it Enzo Amore?
Enzo.
Oh, my goodness.
And he was doing the dance in the shark tank.
Oh, yeah. Wow. You just unlocked some weird memory in my brain. I totally forgot about that.
I'm going to unlock another one. What, during Nick Camarado's entrance, was it just me? Or is his theme song basically like Living on a Prayer?
It's basically like Living on a Prayer. Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun. Yeah. Like it reminded me of like last week when the song was basically like, these ROH theme songs are not getting anything past me. I'm listening to you guys. You guys are like covering the hits when you make these theme songs. Like make generic versions of like classic songs.
And it's so weird that ROH does wrestling theme songs better than AEW does, because half the time we still don't know AEW theme songs.
That is true. That is true.
It's like, well, at least make it generic. So I'm like, oh, this is the Living on a Prayer song. Oh, no, it's not. But oh, I know who this is.
Right. I mean, I think that's one thing I love about the Briscoes. And like any theme song that really has like a, like starts with a phrase where like you hear it, like Chad Gable in WWE, where it starts with shush. And you know, and then boom, right into the song. So with the Briscoes, like, hands to the sky, you immediately know what's happening. Even Diamante's with the gunshots.
Oh my God, I love her theme song so much. It's so fire.
We did get to see Kira Hogan take on Diamante. Kira Hogan defeated Diamante. This was, of course, a rematch of their first round matchup, which went the other way. So now these girls are technically 1-1. However, it was alluded to us by commentary that if Kira Hogan keeps this up and keeps on her winning ways, nothing's going to stop her from being next in line for the TV championship. Yeah, once again, Hogan and Diamante are one. They're 1-1 now. So they may decide to have a rubber match. We may get another match with these two for number contender on the line. Also, Mercedes Martinez did make it farther than Kira Hogan. So maybe Hogan almost has to defend this unofficial number one contendership against someone else who has just as much of a claim. But I thought this was a fun match. I love Kira Hogan getting fired up.
Me too. I loved everything about this. It was so much. Oh, it was so fun to watch. I was so into this match the entire time. I really love the two of them. And Kira Hogan getting some shine. I will say the guy, the announcer doesn't say Kira. He called her Kiera Hogan. But then the commentators called her Kira Hogan. And I was like, so which one is it?
Yeah.
I think it's Kira Hogan, but he called her Kiera Hogan.
Right.
But we talked about this a couple of weeks ago with her. We were saying how much we love having her have some shine. I think it was last week too, when she was doing that backstage segment, she was just like, I'm calling you out this. And it was just so amazing because we really know what Kira Hogan can do. And we're so glad she's now showing the world. And I love everything about this.
100%. And it's like, it does seem like she's on another level now. She's not taking this for granted. She understands that even though Ring of Honor is kind of like the fourth show in the company she signed with, which is AEW, this is still like a chance for her to really show up and show out and be on her own. I think she understands that with the TV championship getting made, that's an opportunity for stories to be told. That's an opportunity for championships to be won. And like when she turns on the fire, like she's got that fire in her. And when she turns it on, she's just on fire. And right now she's on fire. And I love it when somebody wins and then takes advantage of the cam on the ringside to go. Cut like a post match. I just won promo, you know, and Kira Hogan, of course, gets to throw out the Tom period. So I'm loving it. I want to see more of her. I think she can really be a staple with Ring of Honor, like an every week highlight.
Absolutely. I have a feeling like once they crown that women's TV champion, I think she's coming for it, and I'm all for it.
I mean, it's funny because there is so many, like, once again, it's like, yes, I agree. It does seem like they're setting up for it with her winning streak. But at the same time, it's funny because when did they decide to do this with her, right? Was it when they booked her to lose in the first round of the tournament? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's one of those things where it's like, because technically speaking, normally when we look at a tournament and then how everyone does, that seems to be indicative of how the company looks at them and is pushing them. It's almost like an unofficial ranking system, right? If somebody makes it to the final four, you assume that they are looked at as a higher commodity, as someone closer to the title than someone who loses in the first round. So it does kind of, not that I'm bothered by it, because I get it. The person who wins the TV title is probably not losing it their first defense. So they do want to kind of use now these first round people for that. But once again, if I'm like a Red Velvet who just got eliminated last week, sure, I'm thinking that's my spot. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right.
Martinez as well.
Yeah.
So,
because they're final four. Yeah, that makes sense. But I'm okay with Kira Hogan doing
it. No. I have no problem with it. Like I said, I feel like we're probably going to watch our new TV champion get fed maybe 3 to 4 girls before we see them face anyone that was like a final four, final eight in the tournament.
Yeah.
And I think that's one thing that they'll probably do well. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to the life that happens after we have our TV champion, because I feel like that will be legit TV championship stuff. You know, like the history of the TV championship, it's supposed to be the championship that's defended every time it's on TV type of thing. Every time we have a show, that title's defended. We saw a lot of that from Kyle Fletcher. This was, of course, his return, and we'll get to that. But we haven't seen it for a while. I think that our new TV champion may be defending that title every single week. And we hope it goes to the Kira Hogans and the Red Velvets and not necessarily just the Robin Renegades and the Sandra Moons. You know what I mean? No disrespect to them. You should work for title shots no matter what title it is. Speaking of working for the title shot, we got to see a nice video package and a promo from Mark Briscoe talking about how
this video is
has
silly.
Worked. You thought it was silly?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
I don't know. Go ahead.
No, I'm done. What did you think was silly about it?
No, I laughed a little bit. I don't know. I feel like it felt like I was watching. Yeah? Am I not supposed to?
Go, continue.
You said you laughed. I don't know. I felt like I was watching one of my backyard wrestling friends with my mom's camcorder talk and trying to figure out what they were going to say.
I guess. I don't know. Okay. I just didn't really think there was anything funny about it. To me, this seemed pretty passionate. He starts off immediately talking about the time he had with his brother. He talks about the fact that the match is happening 11 years to the day that his brother won that very championship. When he starts talking about, I got that voice in me, and then they show his brother saying things that resonate to the story and the time that he's in right now, talks about how he knows Eddie Kingston has that voice in his head also, and they go back and forth with the voices and the flashbacks. I thought this clip did a great job of really getting me, because the one thing that's been missing, Eddie Kingston calls Mark Briscoe a few weeks ago, and we really haven't heard anything from Briscoe. This was Briscoe having to sell his side.
sell to us why he deserves this, why we should tune in to watch him win this, why Eddie Kingston made a mistake by picking him by hand. You know, he understood. He's like, listen, I know you want to bring the dirty side of you out, the violent side, the side that doesn't care. I'm bringing it too, because you know I got that dog in me. You know, like, that's what I got from this. So that's why I was thrown off, where you're like, this is silly, and I laughed.
I understand
what you're talking about with the format of this, because this was a decision they made. They made a decision to kind of have it be more of a backyard video. And I think they wanted that to go along with this
Mark Briscoe,
Eddie Kingston vibe. Yeah. And an old school Briscoe, because the Briscoes used to do that in their backyard or in their farm or wherever they were. They would always be
in
using
their farm?
The flip. Yeah. Legit, I remember some promos at farms 100%.
I know, you just called me off when Briscoe you said it. You're like, promos. They're farm.
There was some farm promos. Some farm promos.
I think what threw me off a little bit was when he's like, and you lost to Okada. You lost the championship and you were the first. It's like, okay, you don't need to list all this stuff. It's like, we get it. But the hard hitting stuff and talking to Eddie, like Eddie's one of his boys that he has.
Well, no,
that's okay.
I got when he brought that up because Eddie made that kind of a catalyst to him calling himself out in terms of wanting to bring out the old Eddie, where he's like, I lost my title, and then my trainer, my mentor, Homicide, said these things to me. So I understood why he brought it up. It wasn't like he was rubbing it in his face. He was kind of like, okay, so this happens, and now Homicide reminds you of who you are. Well, guess what? I never forgot, type of thing. So, like, I just really did enjoy this. And it got me excited. This package really had me thinking maybe Briscoe does it. Maybe they go with it. Eddie Kingston hasn't really been on Ring of Honor since being the champion. I don't necessarily know that if Mark Briscoe won it, that would change.
Right.
Or all of a sudden we get our champ back. So it's like even keel, you know, it could go either way.
I know we got a video of both of them, like, calling each other out and saying why they deserve it. I wish we got some in-ring stuff of them talking to each other.
Right.
I mean,
there's still a week, so I wouldn't mind that. It's funny. There's sometimes contract signings are like the worst thing. Like, you tell me there's a contract signing, I just roll my eyes immediately. And sometimes I'm like, you know what? A contract signing would really work, just because it would get them in the ring with microphones and they would talk.
It's so funny you say that. I was literally thinking that when we first started talking about Athena and Sheeta. I was like, a contract signing. I was like, I know we always talk shit about them because they're so stupid.
Yeah.
But these are kind of necessary to get them in the ring together to talk to each other.
I mean, and it eventually eventually got to a point where people on air are making fun of the table the contract signing, being like, you know that as soon as I sign this, one of us has to go through a table, right? Like, you know, so it's one of those things where, like, you know how it is. It's become a trope in wrestling. But at the same time, sometimes we do just want to see the wrestlers go head-to-head, face-to-face, on the microphone, in the ring, staring at each other. Is somebody going to take a swing? Is it going to get physical? Or are they just going to slice each other with words?
Right, and that's what I'd love to see. With the Briscoes, oh my God, Mark Briscoe and Eddie Kingston. That's what I'd love to see with the two of them.
You know,
because we know they can talk.
Light bulb. You know what I think Ring of Honor needs?
Popcorn.
Ring of Honor needs a talk show.
Yes.
Like Miz TV, like Piper's Pit. Like, no. Like Piper's Pit.
Oh, like Miz TV, like one
Ding
on
Dong the- Hello. Exactly. Like somebody who prides themselves. Taya Valkyrie kind of comes to mind as somebody her and Johnny could easily have
TV.
Like their own show. The TV show. Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's go with them as the hypothetical, right? Then if it was Taya hosting it, Athena and Sheeta make perfect guests, right? Or even Johnny TV and Taya could have Mark and Kevin as guests. Maybe not them, because their show would probably be on the sillier side, but somebody. What
you said, Mark and Kenny,
that's fine, it's okay.
I was trying to think who you're talking about. I was like, oh, Eddie.
Anyway, so but like, yeah, just somebody hosting a show, because it gives them a reason to get in the ring,
100%.
Sitting in chairs and talking to each other. A nice little, I'm taking your title, what are you going to do about it?
And even though we laugh at Taya, I mean, obviously we're using them because they're the first ones that pop in our head, because they come back with all these like funny quips and stuff. They would be fun to sit there like, why two wrestlers are arguing with each other, them sitting back and like saying funny things like while it's happening or something.
Right.
It can bring a lot of flavor to that segment. But yeah, that's what some they need. You're right. Let's manifest that.
Let's do that. It's ROH needs a talk show. And I think, you know, Lexi Nair could even do it.
Oh, she could. She's great.
Get Lexi her talk show.
Yeah, well, I would watch
the
that.
Nair Lair. No, that's not a good one.
Nair Lair.
Well, her last name is Nair. Fuck you. And that's good. I don't care.
No. What do you mean? I was all for it, and then you were like, nah, that's not good. And I'm like, all right.
You didn't seem to be good for it. You were like, the Nair Lair.
I am one of your best judging. I never judge you, ever. I'm your best friend in all the land. I would never judge you.
All right, I'll take your word for it. Action Andrade and Top Flight are certainly looking like best friends. They've got matching gear. I'm loving these three as a tag team.
Me too.
We see them get the win over KPK, a local trio of Ahmed, Haroon, and Abu. When these guys first started teaming up, it kind of just seemed like, because we had seen Action and Dante team up while Darius was out. And that kind of just seemed like, okay, they're taking these two, you know, white meat baby faces who are high flyers, putting them together. Then when they started putting the three of them together, it's like, okay, you know, they're doing the trios because that's what they do and they're high flyers. But now we're starting to see some tandem offense with not just Darius and Dante. We're seeing some Dante and Andretti. We're seeing Darius in Action. We're seeing all three. As I mentioned, the fact that now they're truly matching and tights and everything, like, this now is striking me as a genuine trio and one that I can get behind, because literally all three of them are extremely impressive in the ring. And I've been talking about this for a while now, but Action Andretti, in his eyes, you can see a mean streak ready to come out. Like, guy has a different level. And I almost feel like at any time, the three of them could turn heel because he decides it so.
And he has a certain hunger about him. He definitely has a certain hunger about him that I'm all like, I'm with. Yeah.
And because of that, I like that he got the pinfall on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Because once again, he gets the pinfall, and then he kind of just has that cocky, like, who's fucking with me next look.
Right.
And they all raise their hands. And that little thing does a lot sometimes.
Oh, definitely.
But yeah, these guys have great chemistry. I'm excited to see more from them.
Yeah, I wonder what they could. Sorry, go ahead. No, I was excited to talk about it. No, I was just saying, I wonder what we could do for what they can have with them next. I know we always talk about the storylines for ROH and who they could team up and have storylines with people.
I mean, they'd be perfect trios champions, but the sad thing is, like, these guys are all prime, like, they're used in ROH and AEW, right? They get these guys working all over. So it's like, once the Bang Bang Gang drop the 6-man titles, they could drop them to these guys, but then they probably don't bring them to the show either, right? So it's like,
so weird. It's such a weird thing.
You want them to become champions. You want to root for your faves to win the gold, but then you realize that means saying goodbye.
Yo, imagine
take that title somewhere else.
Imagine Queen Amanada wins, and then she's just on AEW all the time. We're like, wait, where'd you go? Now
I mean, I literally talked about that as a very big possibility, because it's like, I think when she was in the second round, they gave her the whole signs with AEW. Queen Amanada is all elite,
and we were like, "Ah,
she gets her first win. She gets her first win on AEW television," and it's kind of like, "Okay, when that." And at first, we're kind of like, "Okay, maybe she doesn't make it far this one because of that." And then as she keeps getting better, it's like, "Oh wait, no, she might actually fucking win the thing and just be another disappearing champion."
Oh my goodness gracious! It's like, okay, bye. No,
why I think there's a better chance of Billy Starks winning that match. Billy Starks, there's no real danger of Billy Starks, not yet anyway.
Yeah,
disappearing to Dynamite,
and because the correlation with Athena, like, that kind of goes hand in hand too.
And then if they did do what I spoke about earlier, where Billy Starks would then start defending that title every single week against all challengers, now she's doing something similar to Athena. You know, and so maybe they do that while Athena has the title. She's like, oh, you really think your title's on the level of mine? Or maybe Athena drops the title just as we watch Billy Starks take her title on the road. A lot of different stories to be told with that one. Right. That match is going to be a fun one for sure.
Oh,
speaking
definitely.
Of fun matches, we had Evil Uno, the local hero, taking on the suddenly solo, at least for the time being, J.D. Drake. Obviously, we said it last week, we're wishing speedy recovery to Anthony Henry, but we were also talking about the fact that we do hope they give J.D. Drake singles runs. We do hope they don't just put him on the sideline and don't act like he can't go on his own, because he can, and he did. This was my favorite match of the night. This
Me
was
too.
The crowds. This was the live crowd's favorite match of the night. It's funny, as J.D. Drake was coming out, I'm like, okay, let's go. Drake's getting a win tonight, and then Evil Uno comes out, and I remember they're in Canada, and I'm like, oh, yeah. Poor Drake.
Yeah, it's so funny. It's like, where are they? Oh. It's not the WWE treatment at all. It's like, oh, yeah, it's like, this is who's winning. This was my favorite match of the night, too. You forget how, I mean, we don't forget, but people forget how agile, like, J.D. Drake is
both,
and how
both of them,
they're big guys, and they were hitting
big
hard.
Meaty men slapping meat.
Yep, big meaty men slapping meat. They were going hard, and I loved it. This, yeah, absolutely my favorite match of the night.
Yeah,
and it was nice to see Evil Uno on here. That was a nice surprise. I was happy to see him.
Right, 100%. And Evil Uno is another one that people forget he can go on his own. Loved him in the tag team, the original Canadian tag team, Super Smash Brothers, and then with Dark Order. But the guy can go. And yeah, these are both big men who are super agile. Also, big men who are super entertaining. I loved the first few minutes of this match. Also, mind you, I should point this out. The last match we talked about was the six-man tag, right? That was, I believe, the sixth match of the night. And I believe, yeah, they made their entrance at 7:35. Show started at 7.
Wow.
And 35 minutes in, the sixth match was getting their entrances. So the first five matches really were, and it, you know, it is what it is, because we talked about a lot of more local talent and stuff. But they really got a lot of matches, just bang, 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 bang.
Wow.
And then that last hour of the show was when we got to see some matches get a little bit more time, that six man included. And this one, I believe, got the most time of any match on the card, justifiably so, because once again, the crowd was into it. Evil Uno starts off the match by doing what? Going on the corners, getting the crowd into it, soaking in that hometown reaction. And this is one of those things where, like, I always wonder, like, if I could talk to them immediately after the match, I'd be saying, so did you know you were going to do that? Or did you just do it in the moment? Because then J.D. Drake starts going up to the top. And now we've got, like, literally, like, a two-minute, it felt like, pose.
Right.
With J.D. Drake and Evil Uno and the crowd eating it all up, giving them exactly what they needed.
Yeah, it was a good crowd.
Then, once again, I know we're gonna clap our hands. We're going to give J.D. Drake his flowers every time.
But every single time.
This match was just exactly why we wanted to see him.
And why we love him.
And get shown. Because what does the crowd do? The crowd starts chanting, sexy Uno. Gets a little hip swivel out of Uno. What does J.D. Drake do for the rest of that match? Hip swivel his ass off.
Woo.
Chop and shake. Chop and shake.
I love it.
Like J.D. Drake. Yeah.
Like, yeah, he doesn't take himself seriously with that stuff. He knows how to get a crowd reaction. He knows how it works. Like, it's so great.
And listen, if we're being honest, like, when people look at J.D. Drake, you've never seen him before. You just see a picture of him. His trunks are fairly basic. He looks like the man's man. I don't know that people expect him to be as agile as he is, which we've talked about. I don't know if they expect him to be as funny and outgoing and thinking so fast on his feet. Like he's got it all, really. He checks all boxes other than, you know, the box that says six pack abs, but he doesn't need them.
Yeah, he got a keg right there. We're okay.
That's right.
You
got the keg.
That's all right.
But yeah, I loved everything about this match. Mm-hmm. I loved J.D. Drake reminding everyone he is the chop father.
And it wasn't just because it was J.D. Drake that I was like, this is my favorite match of the night. It was legit my favorite match. They complimented each other perfectly.
Well, and also this was, like I said, this was the most crowd-friendly match. where the face played to the crowd and the crowd loved them. The heel played to the crowd and they gave him the boos. In Ring of Honor, it's very well known fact that they do a 20 count. JD Drake celebrating victory at 10.
Yeah.
Was hilarious. I was dead when all of a sudden, at 10, I win.
I love stuff like that.
I'm sorry. It was so funny. It was good.
Yeah. It's good stuff. He has very good facial expressions, and that's what makes him good too. That's one thing I love about a lot of wrestlers. It's the facial reactions. It's them, like, you get to watch them because they're telling a story in the ring. And that's what you want to see when you watch it.
I know you hate the code of honor. I know you hate the handshake, but I like that JD Drake accepted the handshake only because for me, it fits his character where there's nobody that he's afraid of. He's like, listen, what are we going to do? We're going to fight each other. I'm going to hit you as hard as I can. You're going to hit me as hard as I can. And at the end of this, we're both probably going to have a beer. So yeah, let's fucking do it. Like I like someone who's about to get dirty and nasty and brutal, not having a problem shaking a hand, because it's kind of, it goes back to that old school mentality of just, I hit you, you hit me, now let's go get some coffee.
Yeah. Let them hatch it out. They'll buy each other coffee tomorrow.
That's one of my favorite Danielle quotes ever. When those two girls were going to get into a fight at a block party and Danielle just screams, let them fight, don't break it up, they need to do it, then they'll get coffee.
I was like, let them get coffee tomorrow.
Just beat each other. Just fight and get coffee. I was like,
just fight and then you'll buy each other coffee tomorrow. It'll be fine.
That was how you hatch
it out. Well, that's how you hatch it out, buddy. That's how you hatch
it out. That is how you do it. Yeah. That is how you do it.
Except I'd probably buy you a pop. If you and I ever had to fight and then we had to buy each other stuff the next day, I would probably
Bloody Marys.
A Bloody Mary and a spicy chicken sandwich from Popeyes.
Ooh.
With extra pickles.
Random, but okay.
I don't know. It's the first thing that popped in my head.
I would get you a pastrami sandwich.
Yeah. And beef jerky, obviously.
That main event hit like a pastrami sandwich, especially with that spicy brown mustard. We had the return of our Ring of Honor TV champion, Kyle Fletcher, defending the title. And I don't know, maybe he needed to go away because finally, we get a title match of his that's main eventing.
Yeah, normally that was exciting. Normally, they were
having him start the show, middle of the show. Now, Kyle Fletcher comes back. New look. AEW alled up with the match he had with Kyle. Not Kyle. What the fuck am I doing? Will Ospreay. It makes everyone saying Kyle Fletcher, it might be one of the best wrestlers in the world. So now he comes home to Ring of Honor, defends his championship in the main event against a go-getter in the form of Blake Christian.
Do you know what I was thinking? After that match, how come
I like pancakes?
I don't like pancakes. I like waffles. I was thinking, how come they don't announce Blake Christian as the GCW champion?
Probably because
they don't have to do that. They don't do stuff like that.
I mean, so the only reason that certain people get announced as other company champions is if they're a working relationship, such as like New Japan.
I was like, who's a GCW champion? I'm like, it is Blake Christian, right? Like, he's currently GCW champion. And then I had to look it up, and I was like, oh, yeah, he still is. So I was like, why wouldn't you, like, say that?
I mean, my guess is GCW just doesn't really have, other than AEW allowing their guys to work indies while under contract with them. Yeah. I don't think GCW and them have, like, a working arrangement where, because to allow, even on Ring of Honor, to allow somebody to wear another championship's belt and bring it down, I mean, that's a big deal.
Yeah, I know. That's why I was just curious. And
that's big advertisement for GCW. Advertising, I assume, AEW would want to get compensated for. So, I'm kind of just making this shit up. I don't really know how that works, but I always assume there's a bit of a quid pro there. Yeah.
It just popped in my head. I like this match a lot. I thought it was really great.
I mean, it's definitely one of the things that commentary could focus on more, though.
Yeah.
Because they referred to jobbers and said how they're like six time champions or they got three belts in this company, in the company they work for. So the commentary could certainly bring it up more.
Yeah, because I mean, he is a champion.
Right.
I like this match. I liked to see Kyle Fletcher. I was happy to see Kyle Fletcher again. I think he's doing really great work, and I hope to continue to see him on ROH because we haven't seen our ROH TV champion in such a long time. So I'm happy to see him.
Fletcher's definitely on another level right now. Like, he's evolved, especially since the last time he appeared on Ring of Honor TV.
Oh, yes.
But he's just, he gets better and better every time. He's still so young. Like, it's crazy.
How old is he? 20, like, 4 or something?
Something like that, yeah. But, like, Kyle Fletcher is the future of wrestling, and the future looks bright in the hands of Kyle Fletcher, much like the TV championship looks bright in the hands of Kyle Fletcher. And I hope this leads to, as you've said, him sticking around, defending this title. That, of course, assumes that after Supercard of Honor, he's still champion. I don't know where Ethan Page has gone,
but it is
clear that big Shoddy Lee Johnson has taken his spot, and Shoddy Lee has next. We saw an interview, and I don't know if you caught this, Danielle. You saw who interviewed him?
Renee Young interviewed him.
Renee Young interviewed him.
I had to think for a second. I was like, yep.
Right. No, it was Renee, which I wonder if Renee is going to be doing some more stuff with Ring of Honor. It kind of just seemed like they did that because this was like backstage at an AEW thing.
Yeah, they were like, Renee, can you do me a solid? It looked like a
normal Ring of Honor set. Like, it looked very much like the AEW set. They just
cracked, kind of like, hey, Renee, can you do me a favor real quick? Okay.
Right.
I liked this backstage segment. I thought it was good. And then I
liked the promo.
Clap.
Shoddy Lee's been getting more comfortable on the mic, so we like hearing from him.
Definitely.
And we were talking about the fact that, like, if you're pushing this guy having a winning streak, 6 in a row, 7 in a row, 8 in a row, at some point, what's he doing it for? A title, right? So he should call someone out. So I don't mind it. It makes perfect sense, but I'm crossing my fingers that after this match, Ethan Page comes out and power bombs the champ.
And be like, wait, I'm here. Don't forget me. Please, Ethan Page, come back. Oh, there you are, Peter.
And so Shoddy Lee calls out the champ. By the end of the night, they show us the banner that says it's official. Supercard of Honor, Shoddy Lee Johnson faces Kyle Fletcher. Shoddy Lee comes out for a bit of a face-to-face showdown, a stare-down after Kyle Fletcher's title defense. And I love the Kyle Fletcher screams. He's like, how dare you? Like, because, and it's funny because the last time Kyle Fletcher was there, Shoddy Lee, I don't even know if his winning streak had begun. You know,
I don't think
Shoddy Lee was just another face in the backstage, and Kyle Fletcher comes back a few months later, and now big Shoddy Lee's calling him out. So, that should be a fun one.
That's gonna be a fun match.
I'm just saying right now, I don't expect Fletcher to drop it, not Shoddy Lee, not yet.
But Ethan Page should come out at Supercard and like power.
What do you think is going on with that? I was searching his name as soon as it happened. There's no recent like news stories.
I don't know. I just
Ethan Page.
I just noticed that he posted that he was taking new bookings. And then we saw
him. That was like a month ago.
A month ago. And then we've only seen him like twice since then. So I was like, what's happening?
Right.
I know whatever. He's doing his Alpha One again. I know that. He's doing that show again.
He's been doing a lot more indie bookings.
Then he just became an indie champ. I forgot what promotion he's a champ in now.
It was like, perhaps it's that where he just got himself booked. Maybe he booked him. Maybe he's doing a show on this particular Friday. And maybe it's just more of like he like I'm not available.
Who would be doing a show Friday?
Next Friday,
WrestleMania weekend. Yeah, but who would be doing that if you're not going to be in Philly?
Maybe he will be in Philly. Is what I'm saying.
Oh, like a different show.
There's a bunch of wrestling indie shows that entire weekend.
I know.
So
maybe I'm just saying.
But that's what I'm saying. So like maybe that's what happened. Maybe he's just like, listen, I booked myself for like 3 matches for this weekend, and you didn't book me for this one yet, so I did it. So it could be something like that. He posted a picture on Twitter like today or yesterday of like him and Darby from Fyter Fest. So I don't know if maybe they're moving him back to the AEW side, and maybe I doubt it because his whole story was before I go back to AEW, I need to be a champion in the Ring of Honor.
Yeah,
I'm really hoping they don't just drop that story, but.
Yeah,
Ring of Honor is confusing, man. You never know. You never know who's on the roster, who's not.
AEW is also one of not AEW. ROH is one of the few. That's not what I meant to say. Ethan Page storyline is one of the few storylines on ROH, and a continuous story.
That was
that's
consistent,
what I meant to say.
Right.
Woo. I almost got there.
And for a while, he was telling the story by himself.
Right.
And then he just disappeared. They stopped mentioning it. Nobody's been wanting to call out the TV champion or the Ring of Honor champion. That's a problem Ring of Honor has to fix. You can't have like 20 people on a show every week and none of them are stating that, hey, I'm fighting this match, I'm winning this match because I'm coming for your title.
Right.
Where's my title shot? Mystery officiant, like, you know what I mean? That needs to be dealt with. But other than that, this was a good show.
Right. Because especially the fact that, like, even other shows where, like, Roman Reigns not on the show, people still call him out and people are still like, hey, I want a shot at this championship because obviously he's an absentee champion. People should be saying that to them and then just
having
contender matches.
And back when Brock Lesnar did it, right, Everyone fucking hated it and revolted because they stopped talking about the championship. They weren't calling out Brock Lesnar.
Right.
Everyone just kind of accepted the fact that our champion's gone for the next 4 months. So let's all fight amongst ourselves. Like, let's play.
Stupid. Like, I want to. And what's funny is, like, doing this post show, I want to see Eddie Kingston wrestling. I love Eddie Kingston. I want to see the Undisputed Kingdom. I want to see these people. I want to see Kyle Fletcher. I want to see champions, my champions on my show.
Yeah, they're making Ring of Honor shows, but like I said, they're not committing to it. It just feels like AEW presents Ring of Honor. It's just the name of their fourth and most meaningless show. And it's like, if you're really trying to convince us that this brand is that, it's its own brand and it's back, you have to commit to it. You have to make it mean something. You got like 7 champions. Show them. They got to be here.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Like, where are all my champions? I will say I agree with you. I think this has been one of the better episodes in a very long time. I feel like there were storylines and there were stuff like leading up.
Yeah.
I understand it's because it's probably leading up to super card. And that's okay. That's fine. But yeah, definitely one of the better episodes of the past.
Next week, it's going to be very curious see how they treat this. We were talking about it like at the very beginning before we started the show, I think. But are they going to, you know, set us up for Supercard of Honor? Are they going to have promo segments with the champions and their contenders? Are they going to have people that are getting on the show have matches? Are we going to get more matches announced? As of now, I think there's only like 4 or 5.
It's just going to be a show of announcing matches and it's going to be 45 minutes.
Yeah, like I'm hoping it's not just a bunch of squash matches highlighting talent that aren't even going to be on the pay-per-view. And then they kind of just show us, you know, pictures and like occasional video. I would like to see next week's show mean a little more because you're hyping up a big pay-per-view as opposed to holding back. Because you're preparing for a big pay-per-view.
Yeah. We love you, ROH, and we want to continue. We want you to be better. That's how we want. That's what we want. We want you to be better.
Be better.
Exactly.
Ladies and gentlemen, one thing we know is that you guys can't be better because you guys are the best. Thanks so much for tuning in every single Thursday, hanging out with us here. Once again, don't forget, support the BodySlam.net network at slamchats.com. Don't forget to follow us everywhere at the Heel Marks. We are the best friends in all the land. We are the Heel Marks for Brady and Danielle. You guys are the best. We are just trying to be like you. Never forget, we're not just smart marks. We are Heel Marks.